Morning, church. It's good to see everyone here today. It's an exciting day to do baptisms. Amen. Get to reflect on what God is doing in the lives of the people among us. Not just our own, but those in the pew next to you. Be able to celebrate that, to come alongside each other. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to come together as family. I got to spend the week up in St. Paul visiting my family for the first time since I moved here in the summer. Got to see my brothers, and they wrestled me up pretty good. It's their way of letting me know that they love me. Though they said I haven't used them in a sermon illustration yet. So, Mike, there you go. But will you pray with me? Lord, we're going to look at your word today, and we ask that you use your words in our hearts. Lord, I pray that the message today is not Rob's opinion on a few matters, but I pray that each person here would be confronted with your word, and that your word would speak, encourage, that people would have the sense that they heard from God this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been doing our series of Moses through the journey of faith. And we're in chapters 13 through 14 today. Last week we were in chapters 11 and 12. And guess what? Next week we'll be in chapter 15. So you can keep reading ahead and following along here. But today is an exciting day because this whole time the Israelites have been trying to get out of Egypt. And Pharaoh's been making it really hard. And today, guess what? They're going to say, so long, slavery. They make it. They get to the other side of the Red Sea, and they never see Egypt again. How cool is that? I mean, in a way, when we do baptisms today, we're celebrating that. As they come out of that water, it's a symbol of what's happened internally, that they're not the old way of life anymore. They're not in Egypt anymore. Instead, they're on this new path that God is leading them on. Amen. And so when we look at the first scripture here, chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, the Lord said to Moses, "Dedicate to me every firstborn among the Israelites. The first offspring to be born of both humans and animals belongs to me." So in most commentaries I read, they attach this to last week's sermon about Passover. But I think it's just a wonderful bridge into what's next. Because it's saying here that in the 10th plague, as the blood of the lamb covered the firstborn male children, and God's wrath passed over them, they were saved by the blood of the lamb. It now draws a connection that those who are saved by the blood of the Lamb now belong to God, right? They've been bought at a price. And so these individuals that have been saved, instead of just staying in Egypt, saying, boy, wasn't that great? Let's just keep serving these same idols as our culture. God is saying to them, no, you are dedicated to me now, and I've got plans for you. I love you too much to let you stay where you are, right? And I'm going to get you moving, and we are getting out of Egypt where you can be free to serve me, to worship me, to live shalom with the people of God. And so this first term, dedicate, dedicate, it can also be translated as sanctify. Sanctify to me those who have been saved by the blood of the Lamb. And this word appears in the Old Testament over 100 times. It's a common theme. It's that if you've been saved by God, you've been chosen as people now to be sanctified, And Here's some scriptures that back that up in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 3 says, "We instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more." And in verse 3 it says, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified." Matthew 16, 6 draws out a theme that you'll see here in chapter 3. There's a part of Passover was to get rid of the yeast out of their bread. And that's a symbol of being sanctified. So in Matthew 16, 6, Jesus says, "Watch out and beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, the corruption deep inside, for you're to be continually being sanctified." And so that's a symbol that you see there, the yeast. Get that out of there. It doesn't belong. Galatians 5, which we'll look at Galatians quite a bit today, but Galatians 5, 7 through 9 says, "You were running the race so well. Who is holding you back now from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he's the one who called you to freedom. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough." So again, we see yeast in a negative term. We're to be sanctified, to cleanse, to get that out of there. And then at the end here, in where it says belongs to me, I just love that. I just love that. That as we've been saved by God, we now belong to him. 1 John 4:4. Just what I said. It says, "But you belong to God." And 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For God bought you with a high price." So as we belong to God, just as those who will be baptized today will demonstrate that, they're saying, "I belong to God. I've been saved, and I want to live my life following after him." And as a family, we can celebrate that with them. And as a family, we have a responsibility to them. When I was in the hospital, and I met Hosanna for the very first time, right? She came into it as a new life. And I got to watch that. I also had a responsibility to take care of her the next day. And that night. And the next day. And the next night. Right? But I didn't just say, "Wow, that was a great baptismal service. See you later." No. She was baptized into a family. Into the family of God. For those of you who've been baptized, I think you know that joy when you come out of the water and everyone celebrates. You know you belong, right? And a lot of the world doesn't know how to belong. A lot of the world is really used to what we've seen in Egypt so far. Their shackles on their wrists. They're trying to move forward, but everything is just slowing them down. They think they have freedom, but they don't. And they're not really belonging. Well, folks, God is calling us out of Egypt. He's calling us to belong. He's calling us to break every chain, to run without hindrance the race set for us, because he loves us, and he wants something better for us. He loves us too much to leave us in Egypt. We have 4 points today. That's the first one, is that we belong to God. If you want to write down that in your notes, you can. We belong to God. Let's move here to verse 3 of chapter 13. 3 and 4, it says this. So Moses said to the people, "This is a day to remember forever. The day you left Egypt, the place of your slavery. Today the Lord has brought you out by the power of his mighty hand, and you have been set free." Amen, church. Amen. You remember your life before you became a Christian? The pain, the bondage, the slavery. It says here, remember forever, you've left that place. By the power of God's mighty hand, he has set you free. And this freedom, this idea of leaving Egypt, it's explained as the verses go on. In verses 8, it says you're to have this celebration and to tell your children, to make it a public thing, telling people what the, it says in verse 8, telling people, it says, I am celebrating what the Lord did for me when I left Egypt. That's what these folks are doing in baptism today. They're celebrating what the Lord has done for them in a public way so that their families can know, so that the household of God and the people can know. Public thing. In verse 9, it says, let it remind you always to recite this teaching of the Lord. So almost memorize this. Let it get ingrained in your soul, because you're going to need to remember this feeling for the days to come, the days that don't make sense. You're going to need to remember this, that with a strong hand, the Lord has rescued you from Egypt. As Christians, when we look at how God has provided for us through Jesus Christ, that gives us courage to face tomorrow, does it not? And so it says, recite this, memorize this. Verse 14 again, and it repeats, tell your children, with the power of his mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, the place of our slavery. That word place, you see it here in verse 3 as well, the place of your slavery. That word place in the Hebrew means house, the house of slavery. You've been transferred from the house of slavery to the house of God. And he's going to take care of his people. But sometimes we don't feel like he's taking care of us. As the Israelites were leaving Egypt, God placed them up against the Red Sea. And Pharaoh thought to himself, you know what? I'm going to go get them. He brought his entire army out. And these Israelites were trapped between the army of Pharaoh and the Red Sea. And they, guess how they felt? Were they celebrating that they left Egypt? Not yet. It says in verse 10 of chapter 14, it says that they panicked. Lord, I don't see how you brought me to this place. It says in verse 12, they even say, let us, they're complaining to Moses, they say, let us be slaves in Egypt. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. How quickly, one chapter later, they've forgotten. They've forgotten how bad Egypt was. They've forgotten that the judgment of God is falling against all the idols of Egypt. And this is a theme that continues throughout Exodus. These people are thinking to themselves, boy, wouldn't it be great to go back? And it's almost, they make up ridiculous statements like, remember, we could have as much boiling meat as we wanted in Egypt. They forget the brutality of Pharaoh. He hated them. He wanted to destroy them. He wanted to eliminate the next generation from ever believing in God. You've left the household of slavery, and the ruler of that house hates your guts. Why would you want to go back? For a lot of us, it's because it's comfortable. We think to ourselves, you know what? I was at least comfortable. I at least know what to expect. Because when God calls me forwards to obey him, I don't always know how that's going to turn out. And sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes it feels like I got the army of Pharaoh breathing down my neck. And I just want to give up. Anybody been there? But let me tell you, a lot of you have seen more years of God's faithfulness than I have. But even at my age, I know God is faithful. And I got a grandpa that's 96 that'll tell me God's been faithful every year, every day. God will make a way for you. And don't you turn back. Don't you turn back now, because God has done too much to bring you to this point. Like the people that are going to be baptized today, I want you to say with them, I'm going to follow you, God, all the days of my life. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to turn back. Because with a powerful hand, God led you out of Egypt, and with a powerful hand, he's going to keep leading you into tomorrow. Amen. Here's some scriptures here that back this up. Most of them here, we're going to look at Galatians and then Romans. And it is just beautiful, the picture that is painted here. And I think as they talk about slavery, I think they're referring to this, the Israelite story of salvation. Not just at the time that they wrote this, but I think they're thinking back to their Jewish audience. They're saying, remember slavery. And so in Galatians 4, 8 through 9, it says, before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to so-called gods that do not even exist. So now that you know God, or should I say now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world? Why do you want to go back? Galatians 5:5, it says, so Christ has truly set us free. I think the NIV says it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. Yeah. So stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Christ paid it all so that you could leave Egypt. So get out of there. Get out of there. He's got great stuff on the other side for you and a new life. Galatians 5:13 says, for you've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. So you've been freed. Don't stay in Egypt serving those idols and serving that Pharaoh. God's got plans for you on the other side. I like 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, if anyone belongs to Christ, he's become a new person. The old has gone, the new has come. There's no going back. Romans also, chapter 6, uses this illustration of slavery. It says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show more and more of his wonderful grace? It says in verse 2, of course not. Since you've died to sin, how can you continue to live in it? Verse 3, or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Verse 6 mentions, we are no longer slaves to sin. The power in all of this, guys, comes back to the gospel that we just saw there. The reason we can live new lives is because Jesus Christ, God himself, came to take our punishment. He allowed himself to be crucified on a cross and put in the ground. And when he rose, when he broke and softened that ground, he made the way for the rest of us to follow him into a new life. And that doesn't just start in heaven. It starts right now. If you've placed your faith in him, that new life starts right now. You can be joined together with Christ. And that is from faith. The decision point for you is to place faith in that promise that Jesus Christ loved you so much, that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. In other words, have a new life In that same chapter, Romans 6, in verse 19, or starting in verse 18, it says, "Now you are free from slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living." Verse 19 says, "I'm using the illustration of slavery to help you understand this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led you ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy." So the second point this morning, if you want to write down from this, is that you don't belong to Egypt, right? Point one, you belong to God. Point two, you don't belong in Egypt. You don't belong in that old way of life. There's something better for you. We'll go to our next verse here. Chapter 13, verse 21. It says, "The Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire." He has made the way for you. You don't have to part the Red Sea on your own strength. And trust me, that's not going to work very well. And you're not going to fight Pharaoh on your own strength. Trust me, that's not going to work very well. But he has provided the way through Jesus Christ. He has gone ahead of you and prepared the way. And it's just beautiful in these chapters what the Lord is doing for them. He's the main character. When the people start to panic, Moses tells them, chapter 14, verse 13, Moses gets this and he assures them. I love it. He says, "Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. For the Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm." Thinking about this, the problems we have in our life have an expiration date. But if you belong to Christ, you don't have an expiration date. As stuck as you might feel, you're going to break those chains. Whatever you feel is holding on to you, that thing's coming off your back. God is going to make the way. You're going to see the waters part. The third point here is that when you belong to Christ, he will guide you. He will lead you. Verse 14, 19 through 21 says, the angel of God who had been leading the people of Israel moved to the rear of the camp. The pillar of cloud also moved from the front and stood behind them. So God's leading them as a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. And it says, "Now it moves behind them. The cloud settled between the Egyptian and Israelite camps. As darkness fell, the cloud turned to fire, lighting up the night. But the Egyptians and Israelites did not approach each other all night. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all night, turning the seabed into dry ground." Verse 24 says, "Just before dawn, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and cloud, and he threw their forces into total confusion. He twisted their chariot wheels, making their chariots difficult to drive. 'Let's get out of here, away from these Israelites,' the Egyptians shouted, 'for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt.'" Verse 28, "Then the waters returned and covered all the chariots and charioteers, the entire army of Pharaoh. All the Egyptians who had chased the Israelites into the sea, not a single one survived." When God is for you, who can be against you, right? Go to the last verse here that we're going to look at today. Exodus 14:29 says, "But the people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground as the water stood up like a wall on both sides." Verse 31 says, "When the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. They put their faith in the Lord." fourth point here, the part that the people of God are responsible for is just to walk with God. He's going to fight for you. Just keep walking with him. It's the daily walk, the Christian walk. Back when they were panicking, verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving." I like that phrase. Tell the people to get moving. The Lord's gone ahead of you. Are you going to follow? And that's what folks today are doing through baptism. They're showing us, I want to follow God through the Red Sea. I want to leave my old life behind. I want to go to my new life. And I invite you as a church family to support me in that. We have that obligation as we see that today. And all of this is for God's glory. In chapter 14, it says it four times that what God is going to do in bringing his people through the Red Sea, it's for his glory. His glory. One person I was talking to about baptism, I'm talking about why to do it. And I told them, it glorifies God when you get up here and you share with everyone, friends, family, church, what God has done for you. It glorifies God. This idea of following him, going through the path, the way that he's made for you. Colossians 2, 6 through 7 says, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, you must continue to follow him. And I think it's important to understand the order here in Exodus is not that they went to Mount Sinai and got a bunch of rules first and then earned their way to heaven. And it's not that they went through the Red Sea first. The order here is important. They were saved by the blood of the Lamb first. That's the starting point of faith. Is that God loved you so much, he was willing to die for your sin. And when that soaks in, you start to realize, I don't belong in my old way of life anymore. You start to realize as God's Holy Spirit now lives within you, those promptings where he starts showing you, take that next step forward of obedience. And the scriptures command in the Great Commission to baptize people and to teach them everything that I've commanded. So that first step of obedience is baptism. Saying, I'm going to be part of this thing with the people of God. But that's not the first step. Then there's the second step and the third. And you continue to walk in obeying everything that God has taught. And it's a good life, guys. It really is. I know you might think to yourself, well, I don't want to be a slave to righteousness. That sounds boring. I can tell you, being a slave in Egypt hurts, and there's no future to it. Hosanna living in my house, I take care of her. And if you're going to join God's house, and you're going to start walking and following him, God is going to take care of you. Even in the moments when you panic, and you say, God, I don't know if I want to go through that. Right? I don't see the other side of this, God. But you can see where the next step is. And you take that. And God will shield you on all sides. To the left, to the right, behind, before. He is with you. He is Yahweh, who is always present, has the past, future, all of history in his hands. He can see it all. He's with you. And I know the moments when you face your Red Sea and you want to cry. And I'm going to cry with you on that. I get it. Right? Life is not just a bunch of optimism when you come to faith. The reality of the gospel is that Jesus had to die. So the optimist is wrong because Jesus had to die. There's stuff in life that really, really hurts. But the pessimist is wrong because Jesus rose from the dead. And there is hope. Every one of those situations has an expiring date, but for those who belong to Jesus Christ, you don't. You're going to walk this path hand in hand with the loving Father. And so, worship team, I invite you to come up. First Corinthians chapter 10 really led me to this passage for Baptism Sunday. Because it says this, it says, verse 1, I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them, and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized. There's an illustration here, a powerful one, of salvation. So I encourage you to apply this to your life. Keep following him. And just say, so long, slavery. Next time you're tempted to go to the old life, say, so long, slavery. Because God's got something better for you. For those being baptized, you can meet in the back room here. But let me pray. Lord, it is such a gift that you would call us out as your people and draw us out of the waters to a new life. And I thank you for how you're doing that here. Help us to be a church that doesn't look back. In Jesus' name, amen.